Today, hopium rules markets, despite more questions on AI rates and energy, at least for now. Hello again, it's Miles North from Digital Finance Analytics, one that is post covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update, where we start in the US, across Europe and Asia, and we end in Australia. We cover commodities and crypto along the way. As we exit July, superficially at least, markets rebounded from volatile moves during the week as a bunch of macro issues from the future path of interest rates and inflation, the energy wars in the Middle East, and the future trajectory of AI came under the spotlight. US stocks rose on Friday as strong earnings from Amazon and Microsoft drew investors back into the AI trade, while long-dated Treasury yields hit new multi-year highs on fears that rising oil prices could fuel inflation. Currency markets also stayed on alert for further intervention a day after Japanese authorities stepped in to support the yen, with US Treasury's help. It was perhaps the biggest currency intervention in history, as the US joined in for the first time in 30 years. Thursday's yen buying hit roughly 8.45 trillion yen, which is about $52.8 billion in a single day. And then the New York Fed sold euros to buy yen for the US Treasury. The last time Washington and Tokyo intervened together was in the 1990s. So the question now, is the US acting as a shadow bank of Japan to protect the US dollar-yen carry trade? Well, perhaps so. The MSCI Global Index rose 1.36% across the week, while the European Stoxx 600 rose 0.73%, despite a small slide on Friday having hit a high during the week. The All Asia ex-Japan rose 0.8%, with the KOSPI up 17.9% on Friday alone, but still down 13% over the past month, despite massive chip-led volatility, while the ASX 200 in Australia eked out its fourth monthly gain despite a fading rally on Friday, heading into a month of financial updates, of course, rising 2.3% over July, which took the ASX 200 rise since the start of the year to 2.9%, which is well below major Wall Street indices. Energy markets roared higher in July, with double-digit percentage gains for oil and diesel, as a fragile pause in hostilities has been washed in and Tehran collapsed. The Yemen-based Houthis entered the fray, and Saudi Arabian forces joined the United States to strike Iran-backed groups in Iraq. Indeed, Brent oil futures were up 22% for July, the biggest monthly spike since March, which of course sounds inflationary, after the US-Iran war broke out, while European LNG futures were up 34% over the month as the war looks like continuing and spreading ahead of more extensive action planned. Egypt, a close ally of the US and regional mediator, which had been one of the few countries in the Middle East to have been spared direct military action during the war, was also dragged into the fray as drone strikes ignited fires at two natural gas vessels at an Egyptian port. Having started the war along with Israel in late February, US President Donald Trump faces a conundrum whether to escalate the conflict in retaliation for Iran's attacks on US assets or focus on curbing turmoil in global energy markets. Now, before we get to the AI story, we need to talk about bond yields, which are climbing again. The US 30-year was up to 5.275%, a level not seen since the GFC, while the 10-year was up to 4.745%, and the 2-year was at 4.291%, suggesting the bond vigilantes are now calling the shots. The gauge by which the Fed measures progress towards its 2% goal, the Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index, at least for now, rose 3.7% in June from a year earlier. That's improved from May's 4.1%, but still is under continued upward pressure. After Kevin Warsh's outing this week, CNN reported that the bond market had called his bluff, in that while Warsh talks tough on inflation, he's actually not doing anything. And so investors are punishing him for that. Though, as Christopher Joy noted in the AFR, there is another potential interpretation, namely that Walsh is not losing the bond market. He is running a constrained optimism, deliver price stability subject to the political condition of his appointment, which was almost certainly predicated on an implicit promise to President Donald Trump that there will be no rate hikes before the November midterms. Within that constraint, he may be outsmarting everyone, effectively weaponizing the bond market. But either way, the prospect of higher long-term rates means higher costs for mortgagees and also those hyperscalers who are now needing to raise funds in the bond market to fund their AI habit. Questions remain, given that the circular spending, driven, for example, by NVIDIA and others to support OpenAI and Anthropic, who are burning cash as never before to create AI agents, who now appear to be able to break out of their sandboxes undetected, and even as China is building open source alternatives. Will this fly or won't it is the question. One of the major drivers for the slumping AI trade has been jitters that returns are going to be too little and too slow from the hundreds of billions of dollars being poured by mega cap firms into building AI infrastructure or the combined hardware and software stack needed to handle massive data and computing power used to build and train AI processes. Investors punished Elon Musk's Tesla and Google parent Alphabet last week for highlighting elevated AI-related spending plans. Now, six of the magnificent seven megacap US tech companies reported results, but the question is, will the hundreds of billions being invested in AI prove to be profitable, despite the drain on broader liquidity, hence the higher interest rates, new data centers and resources? Well, it's all a big bet. That said, Amazon shares surged 15.3% to $271.55, after it reported a fifth quarter of cloud revenue growth. We are unusually well positioned for this AI inflection, Amazon boss Andy Jassy said in a conference call. In its take on the latest megacap result, Bank of America said Amazon's cloud revenue clearly shifted into a higher gear, reiterating a buy on its shares with a newer higher price target of $320. Nor is there any sign yet that the hyperscalers, Microsoft, Meta, Google, and Amazon, are going to be easing back on their AI spending. Microsoft on Wednesday forecast strong cash generation through fiscal year 2027, and their shares rose 3%, adding to gains after surging over 15% on Thursday in its biggest one-day percentage gain since 2008, when it forecast stronger than expected cloud growth. The spotlight had been on the capital expenditure guidance issued by Meta and Microsoft. The Facebook parent's quarterly profits disappointed, and it hiked its CapEx forecast, but Microsoft became the first AI giant not to raise spending plans, and the quarterly performance of its Azure cloud business was strong. Shares in Apple fell 7.4% to $308.91, after it said the unprecedented demand for semiconductors and memory to build data centers and lift computing capacity had dented Apple's ability to make most of its products. Bank of America said that there are several positives for growth moving forward despite supply headwinds, and it reiterated its buy rating with an unchanged $380 price target. Nvidia is the one mega cap yet to report. It will not do so until August the 26th. AI adoption by firms rose by 0.9 percentage points to 21.5% among US establishments, with adoption expected to rise to 24.3% in the next 6 months. That's according to the Census Bureau's Business Trends and Outlook survey that Goldman cited in their note. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 0.53%, the S&P 500 gained 0.7%, but the Nasdaq Composite ended up 1% at 25,373. For July, the S&P fell 0.1%, the Dow eked out a gain of 0.3%, the Nasdaq slid 3.2%, and the tech sector losses in July were driven by the worst month for chips since 2008. The Philadelphia Semiconductor Index, that's a key barometer for the chip space, saw a whopping 20.6% loss in July. That's its worst month since October 2008. Analysts highlight that US markets are still excessively overvalued and therefore risks remain elevated in the weeks ahead. We're going to see about that, of course, as time plays out. Back to the Fed rate decision. While the Federal Open Market Committee eventually held its key policy rate steady, the decision saw three dissents as Cleveland Fed President Beth Hammack, Minneapolis Fed President Neil Kashkari, and Dallas Fed President Lori Logan voted for a 25 basis point hike instead. Inflation has remained stubbornly above 2% for more than 5 years. I'm not confident it will return to our objective on its own. Supply-side factors, including energy prices, have boosted inflation this year, but I see inflationary pressures coming from the demand side of the economy as well, Hammack said on Friday. Labour consumption and financial market conditions indicate that monetary policy is not restraining the economy. Without any policy restraint, inflation will likely continue to trend above target until there's an anticipated shock, Logan said in a separate statement. The FOMC cannot count on unanticipated shocks to achieve its goals and can always adjust policy if unanticipated shocks do occur. Modest action in the near term would reduce the likelihood of needing to take sharper action later, she added. And Kashkari also expressed his view to manage against the risks that high inflation could become entrenched. I would rather tighten policy incrementally as we gather more data on the path of inflation and employment. If inflation remains elevated, in my view, a potential series of small policy moves will be better than waiting and eventually concluding that even bolder actions were necessary. US Treasury yields rose on Friday after the dissenters' comments as traders dumped bonds. Yields have risen significantly in July amid expectations for rate hikes and concerns that the Fed, under the new leadership of Kevin Warsh, is falling behind on inflation. Rising yields make borrowing more expensive for consumers and businesses, effectively playing the role of a rate hike without the Fed having to do anything. The dollar index, which measures the US currency against a basket of peers, including the yen and the euro, fell to 99.8, with the euro up at 1.1530. The yen strengthened against the greenback to 157.43 after Japan conducted the yen buying dollar selling intervention. The US Treasury also told several banks that they should stand ready for future action. The Bank of Japan kept interest rates unchanged on Friday, but signaled its resolve to push up borrowing costs. At a press conference, the Bank of Japan governor said inflation risks were skewed to the upside and the central bank was prepared to speed up the pace of rate hikes should monetary conditions be accommodative. Analysts note that intervention has had limited success in providing durable support for the yen and said the currency outlook is unlikely to improve unless the Bank of Japan does raise rates. And gold futures for August delivery was at 4,098 US. Troy ounce. European shares were somewhat mixed on Friday, pulling back from an earlier global technology rebound, which had positioned regional benchmarks for a fourth consecutive month of gains, even as official data showed that the Eurozone inflation ticked up in July on the back of rising energy costs. The pan-European Stoxx 600 fell 0.1%, having gained earlier, as it looked to build on solid monthly momentum that had seen the benchmark advance in July. Germany's DAX closed up 0.1%, France's CAC 40 inched 0.3% higher, and London's FTSE fell 0.2%. The end-of-month rally capped a resilient July performance for European equities. Throughout the month, the Stoxx 600 navigated escalating Middle East military friction, volatile energy prices, and murky interest rate guidance from several major central banks. Regional equities drew critical strength from a robust quarter two earnings season where pricing power across consumers, banking and defence heavyweights shielded continental benchmarks from broader economic headwinds. Investors also digested fresh macroeconomic data showing Eurozone headline inflation picked up to 2.9% year over year in July, up from 2.8% in June, as energy prices accelerated. The services sector was a notable contributor to this increase, a development that, all else being equal, raises the probability of a September ECB rate hike. Underlying core inflation, which excludes volatile food and energy, accelerated to 2.5%, while services inflation remained elevated at 3.3%. On the corporate front, Crédit Agricole rose 2.1% after the French lender topped second quarter profit forecasts, bolstered by strong retail and investment banking revenue. Meanwhile, the Swiss National Bank posted a massive second quarter profit, benefiting from foreign currency gains and rising equity valuations. In the automotive sector, luxury sports car manufacturer Ferrari gained after raising its full-year earnings guidance, citing strong demand for customized models and robust pricing power. Conversely, Siemens Healthineers fell 3.3% after the medical technology firm cut its full-year revenue forecast, pointing to ongoing supply chain bottlenecks and slower equipment orders to key overseas markets. Universal Music Group shares shed almost a quarter of their value after the world's largest music company reported slower growth in subscription revenue, raising concerns about its streaming momentum. In the UK, annual house price growth slowed in July, even as prices posted their first monthly increase in 3 months. Nationwide said the data pointed to a softer housing market as economic uncertainty continued to weigh on momentum. Taylor Wimpey cut its 2026 UK home completions forecast after slower buyer conversations and affordability pressures weighed on demand. The home builder said customers remained price sensitive as geopolitical uncertainty lengthened purchasing decisions. The Bank of England, of course, held rates, but warned they would have to go higher if high oil prices continued into the future. British Airways parent IAG dropped 5% following a sharp fall in second quarter operating profit, and Sainsbury's agreed to sell Argus to Swift Partners for about £120 million as it sharpened its focus on its core grocery business. The disposal advances the retailer's strategy of simplifying operations and concentrating on food retailing. BP launched a formal sale process for its North Sea business as CEO Meg O'Neill accelerated plans to streamline the portfolio and reduce debt. The divestment forms part of the oil major's target to deliver $20 billion of asset sales by 2027. And NatWest reported first half profits above forecast and raised its full year profitability outlook on higher income and disciplined cost control. The lender also brought forward potential share buybacks, saying it could begin them after its 2026 full year results. Shell agreed to sell its BG Cyprus unit to MOL Group for up to $720 million as it continued to reshape its portfolio around LNG, and the sale transfers its stake in the Aphrodite gas field while supporting the company's capital allocation strategy. Asian stock markets rose on Friday, led by a sharp rebound in South Korean shares, while investors suggested the Bank of Japan's decision to leave interest rates unchanged and a fresh batch of regional economic data. The Bank of Japan kept interest rates unchanged on Friday, maintaining its short-term policy rate at 1%, as policymakers judged the economy remained in a moderate growth path, despite headwinds from higher oil prices and geopolitical tensions in the Middle East. The central bank said risk to inflation remains skewed to the upside and warned policymakers must pay close attention to the impact of Middle East developments, foreign exchange moves, and global AI demand on Japan's economy and prices. Japan's Nikkei 225 jumped 4% on Friday, also aided by a surge in local tech and chipmaking names. The Nikkei, though, was still trading down 8.1% in July. Tech conglomerate SoftBank Group surged nearly 14% on Friday, while Tokyo Electron jumped 6.2%. Nvidia supplier Advantest surged 15%. Japanese equities faced three major hurdles in August, including high oil prices, a more hawkish Federal Reserve, and the possible unwinding of crowded equity and foreign exchange positions. According to Bank of American strategists, they said the recent sell-off in AI stocks may have been completed from an initial phase point of view, but warned that further weakness remained possible if those risks intensified. The Bank of Japan's decision came after data released earlier on Friday showed inflation in Japan's capital accelerated more than expected. Core consumer price inflation, which excludes volatile fresh food prices, rose to 1.9% year on year in July, according to government data. The print was a shade above expectations at 1.8% and accelerated from the 1.6% seen in June. A core reading that excludes both fresh food and energy prices rose to 2% in July from 1.9% in the prior month. The print is closely watched by the Bank of Japan as a gauge of underlying inflation. And separately, data showed Japan's industrial production rose 1.3% in June from the previous month, beating expectations for a 1% increase. Retail sales rose 0.5% year on year in June, well below forecasts for a 3.1% gain, which points to weaker consumer spending. South Korea's KOSPI ended 18% higher on Friday after suffering steep losses for three consecutive sessions. Heavyweight chipmakers Samsung Electronics and SK Hynix rebounded strongly as upbeat quarterly results from Microsoft and Amazon renewed confidence in AI-related spending. But Samsung was still nursing a 21% loss in July, while SK Hynix saw a 35% drop. The rally helped stabilize sentiment after a week dominated by concerns over AI valuations and rising competition from Chinese chipmakers. Despite Friday's gains, the KOSPI saw a 22% monthly drop amid profit-taking and AI-related worries. Citi told clients in the note on Friday that there are now clear signs that buy-on-dip capital flows have taken hold in South Korea's KOSPI, pointing to record foreign buying, tighter retail trading rules, and steadier pension flows. Chinese shares were also higher, with the Shanghai Composite Index rising 1% and the blue chip Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 adding 1.3%. Hong Kong's Hang Seng edged 0.2% lower. Data on Friday showed that China's manufacturing activity unexpectedly slipped back in concentration in July, while the non-manufacturing PMI also weakened, highlighting persistent headwinds facing the world's second largest economy. So investors continue to watch for additional signs of policy support from Beijing. India's Nifty 50 edged 0.2% higher. Australian shares rose for the fourth consecutive month after eking out a gain on Friday as copper miners rallied on renewed optimism around artificial intelligence following the record surge in South Korean technology stocks. The ASX 200 gained 0.1% to 8,976.8, ending well below its intraday peak at 9,059.8. The benchmark climbed 2.3% for its second best month of 2026 and the biggest weekly rise since early April, but that took the ASX 200's rise since the start of the year to only 2.9%, which of course is well below major Wall Street indices. And making matters worse, analysts say the rise of passive investing, as well as podshops and quant funds, which trade on daily market events, mean small bets and misses from a company during the earnings season, which begins in earnest next week, are set to trigger outsized share price reactions and therefore more volatility. AI euphoria sparked a rally in materials, with BHP up 2% to $6.31 and Rio Tinto up 1.3% to $108.57 as traders looked to get exposure to copper. Australia's tech sector was mixed amid strong gains by peers offshore. Data center operator NextDC surged 4.5% to $13.36, but WiseTech Global plunged 4.2% to $36.30. Whilst Brent crude tracked a 20% monthly gain, Woodside Energy ended up 0.2% at $30.95. And healthcare was the weakest as CSL dropped 3.8%, $123.06, as Macquarie put the healthcare giant as its least preferred stock in the sector. Fortescue fell 1.9% to $18.51 as it expected to book $525 million after tax impairment on its Iron Bridge magnetite project. Origin Energy rose 0.9% to $10.76 as it said business electricity volumes rose 7% in the June quarter from additional demand from data center customers. And Energy One rocketed 31.8% to $14.30 after it rejected a $565 million takeover approach from Norwegian rival Vula. which would have seen shareholders receive $17 per share. Among the Delphus advanced 2.7%, $29.27, as it secured a $165 million contract with Rio Tinto for infrastructure work at the Brockman Syncline 1 project in Western Australia's Pilbara region. Banksy's lower, with CBA at $177.53, ANZ at $37.31, Westpac at $37.87, and NAB at $41.33. Macquarie was at $253.09, as ASIC said this week that many mortgage offset accounts may not be working as intended. See my earlier post. The Aussie two-year bond was at 4.524%, despite the superficially weaker inflation read this week, as rate hikes are still possible ahead. The Aussie was at 70.24 US cents and 50.04 UK pence. In crypto, Bitcoin edged lower on Friday, trading below 62,000 US, as uncertainty over the Federal Reserve's interest rate path and lingering geopolitical tensions in the Middle East kept investors on the sidelines, despite a sharp rally in AI-linked technology stocks. The world's largest cryptocurrency was last down 2.7% at 63,048, but still up for July after June's wipeout. Bitcoin showed little reaction following the Fed's decision earlier in the week to leave interest rates unchanged. Institutional demand presented a more mixed picture. Bitcoin exchange-traded funds have seen volatile flows in recent sessions after a prolonged stretch of inflows was interrupted by sizable withdrawals as investors reassess the outlook for interest rates. And investors also digested quarterly results from two closely watched crypto-linked companies. Strategy, largest corporate holder of Bitcoin, posted a second quarter loss of $8.22 billion as lower Bitcoin prices forced large mark-to-market losses under fair value accounting. Although the company increased its Bitcoin holdings by about 11% during the quarter. Class A shares of Strategy ended 4.6% lower on Friday. Meanwhile, Coinbase Global's Class A shares fell 10.6% after the US crypto exchange reported a wider than expected quarterly loss and weaker revenue as subdued digital asset trading volumes weighed on transaction income. Looking at broader crypto prices, most altcoins tracked Bitcoin lower. For the month, altcoins were set to be a bit of a mixed bag. World number two crypto, Ethereum, shed 2.9% to $1,865.90, but has surged more than 18% for July. World number three crypto XRP eased 1.9% to $1.0627 and gained 2.3% for the month. So standing back, yes, there are many uncertainties and open questions. What will happen to that AI investment? Will interest rates have to be raised? Will inflation bubble higher? All of this suggests, given the high valuations at the moment, that markets are due for a correction at some point. But when and how, of course, is the question. Bearing in mind this has gone on for some time. I suspect the Middle East will be the key, but the AI story could be the catalyst. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.